these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
We always know what we're talking about. We have had a winner in each week of the NFL regular season, with the exception last week. We weren't here last week. But we've had at least one winner every week. Now, we've lost $315 of Mr. Gow's money. We started off with $1,000. We're down to $685. We got to make some money moves, as the great Cardi B would say. Blankers, do you want to lead us off? What game? Man, you picked some bright colors. What game?
I picked Packers green, buddy. I didn't do the highlighter like you guys did.
Man, that's hard to read.
Change the colors?
No. It's too late now. What game you want? What game you want to lead us off with?
I think the first one to me is, no matter how bad or how many, because you're looking for like the games, and you guys had taken some of the games already where the games matter in terms of both teams are playing to win.
Look at this hedge.
But I think that Denver is an awful football team, and they're continuing to be an awful football team, home or road. And the fact that they're only getting 2.5 points from a Charger
team. They're favored. The Broncos are favored.
Yeah, okay, that's where the Broncos are favored by 2.5 over the Chargers. I think the Chargers backups could beat Denver. And if you're going to give the Chargers 2.5 points, the Chargers are going to beat the Denver Broncos. They would like to continue to roll. I think Staley's a guy that his job still is in limbo, and we know Sean Payton keeps knocking on the door if you need me. I just think the Chargers at Denver is an easy win for the Chargers, and even if it's not with, if they decide to sit half their team, they're still going to beat Denver.
This one feels like a trap because the Chargers have said that they don't expect to sit starters. The Chargers can also move up a spot on the seed line, how much that matters to be determined. I was very surprised to see Denver as favorites in this game. In fact, the number has grown since we put the number in this morning. It started off at -2.5 this morning. It is now -3 for Denver, but we'll go with what is in there. I like this side of it, too. Like, I think that the Chargers will have some desire to win. I think the Chargers will have some desire to enter the postseason with some momentum, with some positivity entering the playoffs. I know that Denver's been playing a little bit better since they fired Nathaniel Hackett, but I'm still going with the Chargers here. The Chargers are the better team. The Chargers are going to the playoffs. I think the Chargers want to win, want to have some positive momentum. So I'm with Blankers on this one.
I guess I don't know the full list of players the Chargers aren't playing.
I said they plan to play them.
This line makes no sense.
When do they sit him, though, right?
Exactly.
They'll start him, but when do they sit him?
But, like, this is a matchup I think could get out of hand before they sit him.
Agreed.
Yeah, this is weird. This makes no sense. I'm with you guys on the Chargers. I have no hesitation.
How much,
now,
boys?
Because it feels weird, it kind of spooks me off of playing a big
bet. A little
bet. But it's week 18.
And $50!
Brendan wants us to spend all our money because we fired him and he's not going to be with us anymore.
Because he loves us and loves doing what we do, and we've shoved him out of his enjoyment in life to get him off of our show. So he's going to try and, like, sabotage this whole thing.
I bet the money line on this game, personally. So if anyone want to go $50, I'll go $50.
I'm with that.
All right, $50 on the Chargers plus 2.5. Justin Herbert's probably going to play one series now that we bet it.
Here comes the first one we're probably going to veto.
When you guys get over our initial starting $1,000 next week, you're going to be acting like I had nothing to do with it.
We'll send you a thank you card in the mail. First game, both of my games this week are emotional hedges. So you probably know where I'm going to lead off with this one. I'm taking the Houston Texans to go into Indy plus 2.5 points and beat the Colts. I actually played the money line. I feel like the Houston Texans never do anything right. The Texans are in a must-lose situation, one of the biggest games in franchise history. And anytime the Texans are playing in a big game, the result they need is not attained. They need a loss this week. It'd be so Texans to go into Indy and win. And because of that, I'm pitching you guys the Texans plus 2.5.
I hate this. I hate it so much because I want them to lose so badly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll feel better if they win.
But we've all talked about how realistic it is that they are going to trip over their own stuff and they are going to actually win this football game. I don't know what you think, Brendan, but I want to stay away from it because I really, truly believe Indianapolis is going to win the game. But then there's that glimmer of...
I lean the same direction as Jeremy. I think I prefer to stay away from it as well. If we had to make a pick, if we had to pick every game this week, then I would be with Jeremy.
Here's the thing. If the Texans win on Sunday and we do not place this bet, we're going to feel even worse than if we had made this bet. This is an emotional hedge, where if the Texans win, you're mad because it's not in the best interest of the Texans, but You can make a little bit of
coin. I'm fine with it.
You make a little bit of coin off it. It's an emotional hedge.
It's the last week. Oh, I don't want to go that cheap.
25.
Sure. Okay. It's the last week of the regular season.
Need a little emotional
but then
hedge.
We capitalize on a big victory with the Chargers, and then we blow it because the... Okay.
You think the Texans are losing Sunday?
I kind of do.
I hope you're right. $25. What are you selling this, Brendan?
All right. Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota got embarrassed last week. You guys know
what? Yeah, they did. Who'd they play?
The Packers.
Oh, yeah, correct.
You guys know I don't believe in Minnesota. I still think they're a far better team than Chicago. And Chicago's playing without Justin Fields. I got to be honest with you guys. I don't know how much you're like, you keep an eye on the Bears at all. Justin Fields single-handedly puts on points on the board for the Bears, seemingly every week.
Yeah.
Without him, I don't know how they're scoring. Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota, it's a lot of points on the road. I think Minnesota is going to answer for what happened last week and win this one by more than 7.5.
This is another game that personally I bet, and I bet the Minnesota side, because I, like you, I don't see how Chicago is going to score points. I don't think they want to score
points.
They
have a hard time with Justin Fields.
I don't think they want to score points. They sat Justin Fields. Secondly, I don't know how they can score points. And you're right, Minnesota being embarrassed last week. Again, you have
Peterman
to go
down their
into
leg.
The playoffs with a little bit of momentum. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
You're 0 for the week with your jokes.
I'm flying.
A lot of extra ones this week, it feels like.
0 for the week.
Roll it. How much do you guys want to put on the Vikings?
Well, you want my answer?
You want to put the whole thing on
triple digits.
Triple digits? I don't like that it's over
a touchdown.
I don't
like 7.5.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. I could settle for 75.
Now, remember, he's trying to go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, but it's also fake money.
We can't do less than 50.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
I'll go 75. I mean, it's fake to us. It belongs to Mr. Gal, but his money's not real to us. $75.
Minnesota's going to the playoffs. When do they pull the reins back and start sitting their guys, too?
Not until they're up more than two possessions. Like, the only way I see Chicago covering this game is a backdoor cover. But if a backdoor cover requires points, and I don't see how the offense is going to move the ball.
Okay, I agree.
75?
$75.
Let's do it.
$75 for the Minnesota Vikings.
I think it's our second biggest bet of the year.
Is it really?
I think so. I think we put 100 on the Texans at least once.
All right, what's the second game you're selling, Blankers?
Second game I'm selling is the obvious. It's Sunday Night Football. It's the team that needs the game at home, at Lambeau Field, against a team that may not need it at all, depending on what the Seahawks do earlier in the day. I believe that everybody that threw all their darts and their daggers and made all their funny little jokes on Twitch basically have to come to the reality that the Packers are going to get into the playoffs if they win at home, and the scenario in the table is set on national TV for them to at least get in. I think that they're going to win by a touchdown. I think they're going to beat the Lions. I think that, one, Aaron Rodgers played his worst game of the year, though there were many, against the Lions. He has been hearing about it all week as well, and we know how he likes to use that as motivation, too. I believe that he's going to want to do the I told you so even more. I think the Packers beating the Lions by more than 4.5 is the play.
This is another game that I bet individually this week. Personally, I'm with you. I think that Green Bay is riding a hot hand. I think Green Bay is red hot. This game also has a potential to not matter for Detroit.
That's what I'm saying.
They
could
get into that spot on Sunday night where it doesn't matter. Even if it does matter, though, Green Bay's playing too well. They're playing at home. And Detroit has an element kind of where I was selling earlier with the Houston Texans, where they kind of get in their own way. Usually when there's good things to be had for Detroit, they usually don't capitalize in those moments.
But Jeff Saturday would be the guy that does what ownership wants. Dan Campbell's the guy that tries to buck the system.
I will tell you guys, I don't think it matters if this game has any playoff implication for the Lions. I think the Lions are going to come out playing with their hair on fire regardless. That being
said, why?
Dan Campbell.
Well, I mean, it's a team that's been on fire the rest of the way down the stretch, proving that it's for real, right? If they go into Green Bay...
And, so it's a moral victory, but it costs you in the draft.
I mean, I don't think players give a crap about that.
Well, I know
at this point.
At the end of the day, when you got 8 wins, what's the difference? You're going to pick 2 spots later, maybe? It doesn't make a huge difference. Look, I don't like the Lions to win this one either. The Lions' offense is not the same on the road.
You said that all year.
And it's not. It's not the same on the road. It particularly hasn't been the same on the cold. This is going to be a January night game in Green Bay. I do think it'll be close. I think the 4.5 line is fair. But if I had to pick one way, I would go with you guys on the Packers.
$50 on Green Bay.
I love it.
$50 on Green Bay. What's Brendan going to do at it?
What is he going to do?
Going to yell at us
Raise
next week?
Stink?
I just told you I agree with you guys.
On the front door messages? When it's locked?
Besides, we never picked the Lions games right, so I'm happy we're picking the Packers.
We'll probably get it wrong. All right, here's the second game I have, a second emotional hedge. The Texans have their draft positioning to worry about, but they also own the Cleveland Browns pick. Cleveland's at Pittsburgh this week. They sent home Jadeveon Clowney, by the way, the cancerous Jadeveon Clowney. The Browns are getting 2.5 points at Pittsburgh. This is nothing more than an emotional hedge. Cleveland's going to win to protect my feelings when they win, because, of course, I'm looking at that game for draft positioning for the Houston Texans. So I'm taking Cleveland plus the 2.5 points.
Look, the Clowney thing is just amusing to me because we've been there and done that. Look, from a Texans perspective, too, when I look at this game, are you going Browns? You're going Browns?
That's what I said. Browns plus 2.5.
I don't have much of an opinion on this one. I mean, the Steelers have been playing better lately, haven't they?
This is, like I said, there's no logic here.
You're doing
it's
this
all
with,
an emotional hedge to when the Browns win on
like
Sunday. I'm going to counter some of my sour feelings that it's going to impact the Texans draft by also winning some coin. It's
nothing more than an emotional hedge. I know they both don't, but who has Deshaun to still prove that he can still play and he's getting better with each passing week? Or the fact that Pickett really kind of had his locker room behind him?
Well,
with
Pittsburgh's
the way
got some playoff scenarios.
Okay,
Steelers well then, have some playoff ramifications.
I think
they can get in. Like, everything's going to work out.
See, but then I'm going to say I'd go the other way. I'd take the Steelers to win by a field goal.
Yeah, I'm with Joel. Let's pass on this one. I'll
right,
be the one that
got?
We pass here.
What do you got, Brendan?
All right. Cincinnati at home, 7-point favorites over Baltimore. No Lamar Jackson. The Bengals coming off of what is essentially a bye week at this point.
Uh-huh.
And we,
that's a callous way to say that.
I mean, it is for them.
It's super callous. You know, for that, you're no longer going to work here.
You should be skipped.
The Bengals didn't play last week. They played, what, half of a quarter of football?
The emotional grind was...
But they need the game. If they want to be in that conversation for all the different scenarios to be
well,
a one
they
can't
get
that.
They can't get a neutral AFC Championship game. Cincinnati's ticked, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Cincinnati's super mad, but I think Cincinnati's super mad for all the wrong reasons.
Will
they be able to deflect their anger at the NFL and put it on Baltimore? I personally think so. I think Cincinnati cruises.
I think it's a statement game. Yep.
No Lamar Jackson, too.
It's a statement game versus a Baltimore team with no Lamar Jackson. So we're all on Cincy.
Yeah, we're on Cincy.
And it's not Cincy this week.
Half point matters. The touchdown to me, I'm good with.
Because I care so much about this segment of BZ Money, I'm going to go to Cincinnati in support of Brendan's bet. $50.
$50.
$50.
I'm good with that.
All right. There we go. It's BZ Money. Chargers plus 2.5. Houston plus 2.5. Minnesota plus 7.5. Minnesota minus 7.5, Brendan. For that, you're fired. Packers minus 4.5. And Bengals minus 7. Every week, we pick the winner on BZ Money. All right, Mike McDaniel rumors are swirling. There's some thoughts that he could get fired from Miami. If that happens, there's nothing more I want in the offseason. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Juan in Denver said, just a recognition, great call on Deshaun Watson over Russell Wilson. I don't know what that means. Do you have any idea what that means? Did we say Deshaun would be better than Russell? Maybe?
I don't know.
Because if he has, it's been marginal.
I think we had Russell Wilson on our top 10 quarterbacks list, and I don't think we had Deshaun Watson.
It was definitely debated.
Well, I think if it was my list, I did not have Russell Wilson on my top 10, and I did have Deshaun Watson.
I could be wrong.
I think it was on my list. I had Deshaun off the list because he was going to be rusty.
I also had Watson off the list.
It doesn't strike me that you would have Russ on your top 10, though.
No, I would agree with that, too. I'm not sure where I had Russ. He might have been on the bubble.
He might not have been on there.
I don't think either one made it. Do you still have that?
I could find it.
Could that be your... That's going to be like the best
shot?
Of your best of.
I'll find it. I'll find it.
What are we going to do with the results of this after this weekend when we find out the final results of where the team offense and defense and all those things stand?
I mean, he can send us the information.
Well, if you want. You think he's going to put the effort in after
for
we
the record,
crap canned him?
You guys still have access to all this information, too.
Yeah, I think he'll send us the information. Where's this information at?
It's on our Google Docs.
Is it?
Yes, you'll just have to go digging. Well, not on today's.
See, that was
so you didn't create just one separate document that had all of these things put on it?
No.
Well, you're fired.
In unison.
Today's your last day.
That's it.
With the Killer Bees. How did you not do that? hopefully the next guy has the presence of mind to do something like that. The Dolphins are in a weird presence of mind, perhaps. There are some rumors. We mentioned this a little bit yesterday, that Mike McDaniel could get fired. Mike McDaniel could potentially get fired for the Miami Dolphins. Miami started the year 8-3. They're in jeopardy of losing their last six games if they lose to Joe Flacco and the Jets coming up on Sunday. They would be 8-9, of course, miss the playoffs and lose their last six games. I would be stunned if Mike McDaniel is fired from the Miami Dolphins.
You wouldn't be the only one.
Now, I can envision a scenario where the reason that they would fire Mike McDaniel is because they can get their hands on the combination that they've always wanted.
Sean Payton.
And?
Tom Brady.
So, like, if that's part of the plan, it makes some sense to me why you would move on from Mike Daniel, although I don't want to give up a first-round draft pick for Sean Payton. And quite honestly, I'm not sure how much I want to invest in Tom Brady at this stage of his career. Like, there's a good chance that Tom Brady this year goes 8-9.
I'm with you on that. I think that the combination of the personal stuff on top of the roster and everything changing, and him, I'm sorry, he's beaten Father Time for as long as he could possibly stave him off, but he started to show signs that he is at least, look, he's still not bad. He's not Russell Wilson yet, but he has taken a step back. And so with all that and all the things being considered, and I also don't think the roster in Miami is good enough to be Super Bowl competitive, whereas if he went to San Francisco, it is. I get it, the Raiders probably also on the same tier or maybe a tier below Miami in terms of that.
Miami's got some weapons, though.
And they do, and they went in go-for-it mode, and it just because of Tua's situation more so than anything else, it hasn't panned out for them. But I just, they can go have that pipe dream. If their owner is that completely off the rails that he wants to go that far to clear house, then he's an idiot and the Texans should pounce, you're right. But I just don't see it going as far as McDaniel. I could see it going a lot of different directions with players and coaches other than Mike McDaniel or general manager, but I don't think Mike McDaniel's going anywhere.
Let's live in a world for a second where Mike McDaniel gets fired by Miami for whatever reason.
Okay.
How much would it move your needle if Mike McDaniel was the next head coach of the Houston Texans?
Well, I think that the one thing that's the caveat is in order to be the mad scientist of offensive genius and all the things that he brings to the table, he needs to have guys that he can use that can execute the game plan. So it's, you know,
he's got the number one pick. Had the pick of the litter.
Is it going to be number one or is it going to be number two?
That's a good point.
So
in my mind, it's going to be number two.
That's what I was saying. Going back to Beasy Money and the conversation before that, I think that he would have some reservations going, look, if you wrapped up the number one pick and I have a say-so in both first-round picks and what we do in this draft.
Well, he's going to be fired. So, like, his options might not be all that great.
You don't think that Carolina would still snap him up in a heartbeat? You don't think that even
is Carolina more attractive than Houston?
Chargers are, if they make a move. I know they made the playoffs, but if Staley goes
they
don't want to give up any draft capital for Payton, then you go get McDaniel.
I don't think the Chargers would fire a playoff head coach to get Mike McDaniel, a dude who just got fired.
Denver might.
I could see them doing that for Sean Payton. I could see them firing Brandon Staley if they lost in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Or get their doors blown off.
But yeah. I don't see them firing Staley to go hire a dude who just got fired. Could Denver? Yeah, I think Denver could.
Carolina would want to, but I think that Denver certainly, because I think Denver.
I wasn't talking about Carolina. I was talking about the Chargers.
I'm just going up and down the list. I think Denver would absolutely pounce on them.
Sure.
And I think the Chargers have seen enough on the West Coast of knowing what McDaniel can do when he was with the Niners and knowing that kind of offense is exactly what they want to do with the quarterback and the weapons they have.
You're going to fire a playoff head coach for a dude who just got fired.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know about that.
Because I think that as much as you could say McDaniel's a risk taker, he's a gunslinger a little bit. He's not Staley-esque in the way he goes for it in his own territory on fourth downs and does some of the to that extreme. And I think they need that, and we know that the coaching tree that works right now is Kyle Shanahan. And I think that with the weapons that they still have around.
Why does the Shanahan coaching tree work in right now?
Because I think that you see that offensive system is what everybody wants to go to.
Right, but it hasn't had the success of a Shanahan, though. Like, we saw, well.
No, but I'm saying.
I hesitate to say that because we did through 11 games in
Miami.
Minnesota
has been a ton better because of the fact
that. Yeah, but he's not Shanahan. He's from McVay. He came from
the Rams. That's right. My fault.
And then we've seen Saleh go to the Jets, and they had some success.
I think
he's a defensive coach. Yeah, he's a defensive coach, though, but he's probably brought in some of the same thing that he saw in San Francisco.
You're going to see another one of his coaches get a head coaching job this offseason in DeMeco Ryans.
And we're kind of getting to the weeds of the conversation here because, like, we're talking about, like, McDaniel moving the needle. Now, I think Carolina could be interested for sure. I think Denver could be interested for sure. And I think that's a different conversation of, like, what Mike McDaniel would be interested in. But I'm telling you right now, the Texans fire Lovie. Miami, for some reason, fires Mike McDaniel. The Texans hire Mike McDaniel 3 weeks from now. How would you feel about
Pretty
that?
Pretty good.
I'd be excited. Over the moon. That would be a pipe dream
I had reservations when he took the job. But once I've seen what he was able to do with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and the other guys that he has, regardless if you thought Tua was able to do it or not, early in the season, we thought Tua was having this breakout year, and then the concussions and the injuries happened. But I think that with the right quarterback, if he runs that kind of system and has the weapons to run it correctly, I think that that's a guy that could be your long-term solution at head coach and could continue to grow while his roster does, and I think he'd be a good fit.
I would be over the moon if Mike McDaniel was the next head coach of the Houston Texans. I would go as far to say, you give me Mike McDaniel as the Houston Texans head coach, you can do whatever you want at the quarterback position. You can tell me which rookie quarterback the Texans draft. I won't care.
If they take Anthony Richardson at one.
If Mike McDaniel's the one behind the decision, I'm willing to go with it. Now, I would scratch my head and be wondering if Mike McDaniel got it right, but I'll take Mike McDaniel and trade off that you can tell me which rookie quarterback that you want. I like Mike McDaniel that much, which leads to the question, what is your Texans offseason wish list? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Coach, quarterback, other things, and what are the importance of those things? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie because I've been telling you about them over and over again, and they're at it yet again to try and take care of you as listeners of ESPN 97.5 and customers of mybookie.ag. I always tell you to remember that promo code. I'm going to tell you again because it's hyper important. It's mybookie.ag. Because when you go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code bet975, good things are going to happen to you yet again because they've actually changed and altered the way that you can cash in and cash out on their promotion where they try and give you extra cash in your account. This is another opportunity to do that. We know the NFL playoffs are about to start. We know Week 18 has a lot of important games. NBA and college basketball on a nightly basis, and you want to cash in? Maybe you're doing it to try and actually make money, or maybe you're doing it just to make uninteresting games more interesting. It's a new year, it's a new you, and it's a fresh start for mybookie.ag for you, and all you've got to do is go to the website because they're going to take care of you. Use that promo code BET975. You can, on a deposit as little as $50 or as high as you want to go, I think the range is up to $2,000. You receive a cash bonus instantly to your MyBookie account. Use that bonus once as a bet, and you're ready to cash out. No strings attached. It's all with MyBookie. You can bet on the NFL, UFC, or like I said, all the other sports going on. They even have weekly online blackjack tournaments. But with so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win like there is at MyBookie.ag. Check it all out right now, but remember the promo code no matter what you do if you're going to put money in. It's bet 975. So go to mybookie.ag, use that promo code bet975, and understand that, as I always tell you, there's a reason why. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
He's adamant now in the chat about settling his bet with you. He wants you to check the mail.
King of Twitch owes me a Tex-Mex lunch.
You wouldn't be dumb enough to give him your home address, right? He had to send it to the station?
No, I wouldn't be dumb enough to send him my home address. Just are you check. Crazy?
Because, you know, if
Seattle Mariner Twitter got a hold of my home address.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Remember whenever I was beefing
you were firing
with
them?
Yeah.
Up?
He sent me my address. I was like, okay, touche.
Seattle's not messing around.
See, I don't know how. I mean, maybe there's, what are they called? Sleuths or whatever?
Sleuths.
Sleuths.
You were okay with them finding your address?
No, I was not okay with it. But
that's but that's
what am I going to do
about
it?
That's next level. I mean, I crossing the line.
I think I Karen'd Twitter about it. I asked Elon if he could. They did. I think they got that dude like banned or whatever. Maybe he's unbanned now. I don't know. No, King of Twitch.
Ask Jake.
Where do we get our mail here? I've never.
Oh, there's a mail. There's a mail. Oh, there was a mail. That's a great question.
Yeah.
When they reconfigured the offices, we used to have a mail room over on that side of the office that's not our side anymore.
Would it go to Esme, maybe? Would Esme have mail up there?
Maybe, yeah. Everything goes through Esme.
I'll have to go check. Hey, Esme, do I have any mail here? King of Twitch sent me something. I wonder if King of Twitch signed at King of Twitch, but I've not seen Dick Willie.
Well, if
Dick
he signed his regular name, would you know it?
No.
There you go.
But I would know it based on what I got inside.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what it's I'm receiving sandwich? From him. No, it's a text. It should be a gift card for a little Tex-Mex.
Okay.
Because that was the bet. I'm still waiting on the bottle of bourbon from Dick Willie. I'm 2-0 all time against Twitchers and bets. Anyways, we're talking about what that dude was talking about whenever he was saying, good job, guys, on Watson over Russell Wilson, Juan and Denver.
Steelers
telling
fan
us that. Because Juan and Denver probably didn't. Is it Steeler fan Juan? Because it says
fan
Juan in Denver.
Juan that
is he,
moved to Denver.
Is he Steeler fan listener. Juan in Denver?
He will verify that for you as well.
Interesting. Well, he said the top 10 preseason picks. We were able to find the Killer Bees top 10 quarterbacks at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson did make our top 10, but he didn't make y'all's top 10, which was me propelling Deshaun Watson into the top 10, although I'm not really sure it's accurate. If we did this again today,
well, you mean,
I don't think
Watson would
be the
biggest Deshaun
Watson
lover of the three of us, so I can understand that, right?
In terms of his talent on the field, I respect Deshaun Watson's successes on the football field within the lines. You want to hear our top 10, by the way, at the start of the season?
Sure.
We had Pat Mahomes 1, which okay. I'm comfortable
Solid.
With that. We had Aaron Rodgers 2, which that had to be Blankers Green Bay bias.
No,
there, a little green
no,
bias.
No.
Had to be the case. We had Josh Allen 3. I feel good about that. We had Tom Brady 4. Don't feel so good about that. I don't think Brady's been top 4 in the league. Not even close.
Nope.
We had Justin Herbert 5.
Good one.
Feel good about that. We had Joe Burrow 6.
Good one.
Feel good about that. We had Matthew Stafford 7. And that had to be Brendan.
That was Brendan
that had to be
leading
Brendan's
us down the wrong path.
Bias, yep. Putting Matthew Stafford
I
at number 7.
I specifically remember that I didn't have him the highest. I think Joel might have had him higher than me.
Do you have the receipts?
I could probably find them.
All right. I'd like to see those receipts.
Those are probably in a folder that we have to go dig for, too.
Yeah, that doesn't have a name and a document.
Yeah, it's no access for us.
We're going to have to really train up this new guy. Dak Prescott, number 8. How do you feel about that one? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He was hurt.
Yeah, but is he a top 10 quarterback right now? You know who we missed on big time? Let's finish the list. Number 9 is Kyler Murray. He got hurt. Number 10
is
Deshaun Watson.
That was you pushing him up the list, too.
Probably. And I'd back on that. Kyler Murray is an incredible athlete. He's an incredible talent. I think some of the intangibles you need to play the quarterback positions where Kyler Murray struggles. Number 10, Deshaun. Yeah, the one that we severely missed on was Jalen Hurts.
I was just going to say.
That was a huge
thing. I was probably the leader of the bus, the band there, but I'm sure you guys were on board.
I doubt that any of us had him in the top 10.
No, that's what I'm saying. Top 10 would have been a stretch at the start of the year.
Yeah, so that was the biggest top 10 quarterback miss. Where else do we miss? Where'd we go right? 713-780-ESPN. What is your Texans offseason wish list? Because if Mike McDaniel is on the market and somebody texted in and said that stop being silly, Mike McDaniel's not getting fired, pointless conversation. Those are the rumors that are out there. We don't make the rumors.
That's right. We just react.
We don't create the rumors, but if Mike McDaniel is out there, I agree with you. If Mike McDaniel's fired, I think it's stupid for Miami. I think they should be thankful for who they have. I love Mike McDaniel. I agree that it would be stupid to fire Mike McDaniel, but if he's out there, sign me up. But it leads to the question, what is your Texans offseason wish list in order? 713-780-3776. Is it coach? Who knows if Lovey gets fired? Is it quarterback? Is it other things? What is your Texans offseason wish list in order, Blankers?
I think first and foremost for me, it's still the quarterback. And I think that they go hand in hand, as we know. I just think there's too many variables you don't control or may lose control of if you wait another year to go quarterback. And so I think with numerous to choose from at the top of this draft that makes sense, I think that you got to put the quarterback first. I think more and more, the more I think about it, as much as I said I'm 50-50 on if Lovey keeps his job or not, I really am getting more stronger vibes again that this franchise is so worried about public perception that they're going to hang on to Lovey for one more year. They're going to force him to bring in a new offensive coordinator. They may even force him to give the defense to somebody else. But I just feel stronger now than even yesterday in terms of Lovey being able to hang on for one more year. So I'll say quarterback first, then coach after that. What are my choices?
Heather, you can make whatever you want up.
I just think it's quarterback, then coach, and then, of course, obviously, the rest of the draft is so hyper-important right now with all the picks that they have.
Quarterback's actually third on my list because the scenario that you just drew up is one of my great fears. If you go quarterback, whoever it is, and I know that we all have our own favorites, and then Lovie Smith is the head coach of that quarterback, I am fearful of the development of that quarterback. I'm worried that it's a Trevor Lawrence situation in year one. Joe Burrow wasn't great in year one either. He had an offensive coach. You have to build up the situation about rookie quarterback. So for me, I have quarterback third on the list. My number one offseason wish list is what I talked about yesterday, that the Texans front office and maybe even ownership needs to be transparent on who is the one calling the shots. Because if we look at Nick Caserio, one of the biggest criticisms that people have of Caserio is the way he's handled the two coaches that he's hired. David Culley, how much was he really involved in that? I think a lot on the Culley situation. How much was he involved in Lovie? I don't think he was involved at all in Lovie Smith. I need to see transparency from the front office and ownership that this is Nick Caserio's team. Nick Caserio is the ultimate decision maker. We're not influencing any decisions. We're going to move on from Lovie Smith. Nick Caserio's next head coach is who Nick Caserio's hitching his wagon to. Every personnel decision belongs to Nick Caserio. I don't even know if Nick Caserio is a good general manager in the NFL. We need to find out. He's going into his third year. We need to find out who Nick Caserio is without everybody else. I don't even know if they were involved, but without the thought that they might be. So that's my number one wish list, is that we know Nick Caserio is the one calling the shots. We can figure out who Nick Caserio is. My second most important thing on the offseason wish list is coach. If you don't have a coach that, one, is aligned with the GM, and then, two, has say in what he wants to do philosophically with his team, then you're really going nowhere. You have no plan. You have no map to success. So I put the coach even ahead of the quarterback. I think they kind of go hand in hand, because I do want quarterback first round, so I want to bring in a coach that's very good at coaching quarterbacks. My point to Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. Look at the season that Trevor Lawrence is having in his sophomore year versus his rookie year, because he has a good offensive mind as his head coach, a good quarterback dude as his head coach. Look what Doug Peterson did in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was playing at an MVP level.
You're right.
And got to a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. So, for me, it's Caserio needs to have ultimate control of the organization. You have to bring in a coach that, one, is aligned with Nick Caserio, so you have a plan on what you want to do, and then you start to bring in players based on the philosophy that you have around that, which includes the quarterback position. Caserio, coach, quarterback, 1, 2, 3 for me.
See, the thing is, and just real quick, I agree with you, and I'm curious about Caserio's involvement in the first coach in Culley. But I don't think he cared very much, because he just wanted a coach that basically kind of went through the motions until it was time to get a true head coach.
So I believe you that.
I think he probably, even if he had to make the call, he didn't really have that much passion towards who he picked, because he was just looking for a bridge. So I think that that's one that I'd question. The thing that's really curious to me that's bothersome is, if they do what I think they're going to do and keep Lovie, force him to get an offensive coordinator, that means in a year's time, that offensive coordinator is probably out of work. And so are you going to get a good offensive coordinator? And whether you do or not, if that's the scenario that's painted out, that plays out, that's painted for you, then you're going to screw up the development of this quarterback. And that bothers me even more, because unless it goes back to what I had said could be a possibility when we were discussing all of this, unless you get a guy that you say that in order to convince him, hey, we're going to bring you in to be the offensive coordinator of this team, but you're going to have at the front of the list to be considered for the head coaching job if and or when we move on from Lovie, because he's not going to be a Lovie guy when you bring him in. You would think not anyway, but because it's so hyper important to the development of the quarterback. That's what worries me the most. That's what's scary to me. If you're going to do what I think they're going to do and keep Lovie around and force him to get a different offensive coordinator, that offensive coordinator could stunt the growth no matter what, because either he's not going to be here in a year's time, or...
Yeah. If they bring back Lovie, too, a lot of people have talked about, PR and marketing and butts and seats, you bring back Lovie Smith next Monday or Tuesday, whenever it's Black Monday and other NFL teams are moving on from their head coaches, if you start the offseason saying, we're keeping Lovie, I mean, interest in this offseason, I know you still have the number one and number two pick. I know the offseason, the draft is still exciting, all of that. If you tell the city that you're keeping Lovie Smith after a 2 or 3 win season when nobody wants Lovie Smith, the interest of your offseason, like, I'm not going to say rock bottom, but pretty darn close. But
remember when I said, too, that, like, from a picking perspective, Caserio has to trust his gut and his gut only. And if there's a guy he wants, he needs to go get him. Well, then, truly, to your point on the top of your list, then truly, Nick Caserio is going to have to be the guy that owns it for the franchise and says, I don't care that it's never been done before, that you've hired a new coach 2 years in a row. You need to just, your gut feeling tells you, but it's the right move to make, especially if we're drafting a quarterback.
I got a counterpoint to the Caserio gut, because there's another way that I want the Texans to make the top pick. And we'll ask you as well, what is the priority of your Texans wish list? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HR&P eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is your off-season wish list? Dre's off-season wish list is for me to drink mayonnaise in my coffee. That bit's already been done.
What'd you call that again?
It's a form of fatty coffee.
Fatty coffee.
Yeah, you put some fat in your coffee. It gives you an extra boost. It's good for your metabolism. Everything gets working. You know how it goes. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. The one thing about the Caserio trusting his gut, pick number one, I honestly don't want Nick Caserio making the pick if it is number one. And if it is the franchise quarterback, now trade down, things like that. Like, maybe the better way to say this is I don't want Caserio picking the franchise quarterback. I want Caserio picking the coach that picks the franchise quarterback. You brought up the point yesterday about how Rick Smith went to Wade Phillips and said, you know, who's our best defensive end right now? Who's our best rush guy that you want that in your system? He said J.J. Watt. Turned out pretty good for the Houston Texans. Best player in franchise history. That's what, like, in a perfect world this offseason, I know that Mike McDaniel's a pipe dream. Casario's the one that's calling all the shots, not because I think Caserio hung the moon, but I need to know that the GM is the one making every single decision. And then he hires the head coach that he trusts, needs to be an offensive head coach, and then you go to that offensive head coach, and it could be at one, it could be at three, it could be at seven. Trade down, whatever. Maybe they lose, or maybe they win Sunday and pick second. I don't know. Wherever you're at in the draft, you're on the clock, you're going franchise quarterback, you turn to head coach that you hired and said, you've watched all these quarterbacks based on your system, based on, you know, everything you want to run. Who is the one dude that you're willing to lose with? Who is the one dude that you're willing to get fired for? And you let him make that call. It's part of being a leader. It's part of being a manager.
I don't think Caserio can do it. I'm with you, though, because here's the thing. The more I thought about it during the break, as much as the Texans are hyper-focused on perception and not having a bad look, they've had so many bad looks over the last 2 to 3 years. What's one more, right? I mean, suck it up, Buttercup. You guys have kind of created this entire dumpster fire and mess. Now you got to bathe in it a little while longer. So if you got to suck it up and say, hey, I know it's not optimal. I know it's a really bad look to have hired two coaches in 2 years. But if it means that it's going to help the development rather than stunt the development of a quarterback, if that's the direction I need, I'm going in, then that's too hyper important to like turn the other cheek to, and I need to do that. And then I'm with you. At the same time, the same way we were led to believe there was a chemistry or at least a good communication pattern between Lovey and Caserio, there better damn well be whoever he picks this go-round, open dialogue and an understanding that this is something we are going to do as it relates to the roster and the football team. You can handle all the other general manager duties and do all the things that you want him to be fully and totally responsible for. But in terms of if this is the guy that I'm going to put all my eggs in his basket, then I need to be in line with this guy and I need to be trusting enough of this guy to be able to say, hey, look, go get the guy you like, or we can agree on, this is the guy we like the most.
You have to be willing to get fired with the next guy that you hire. And that's why I want Caserio to be at the helm. He needs to have the reins of this organization, where if you believe that he hired Cully, but he was a bridge guy, okay, we'll give you that one. You get a mulligan from that one. I understand what you were doing. If we say that Cal McNair is the one that hired Lovie Smith, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt there, which maybe I'm making excuses for Caserio. Maybe I'm giving him too long of a leash, but that ends now. This is the coach that you're going to either have success with or that you're going to get fired with. And in turn, if you go franchise quarterback, that coach needs to have heavy influence. And I would say flat out, outright, be the dude that's picking the franchise quarterback for this organization as well. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there for Mark. Mark, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Hey, I wish y'all, man, stop making excuses for Casario, man, because Lovie Smith and Pep Hamilton basing on today's job, because all our first-round picks have been benched for dogging it this whole year and stuff. But basically, now they is playing real hard and all other stuff. Davis Mills and Driscoll, man, we don't even want them on the team, man, because Pep can't even be creative with his offense and stuff. Then you have to put two people in there and they still ain't getting it done and stuff. But I take that out there. Thanks, man. Bye.
Appreciate the call, Mark. I think Mark's points are valid. I don't necessarily agree with all of it. Pep Hamilton's creativity with the offense with the Driscoll cat, I'll give him credit that it worked for half a game of football against Dallas. I think it's an embarrassing way to play football because it's showing that you don't trust your offense. And I think Mark's point is kind of that. Well, why can't he trust his offense? Because Casario built the offense.
Way to play football.
Yeah, it's very gimmicky. You're gaming it up to try to, because you don't believe in your offense. Like, you don't think that you can move the football, so you're going to play a Driscoll cat. And then the thing that infuriates me, and maybe I shouldn't be infuriated by it because the Texans are a team that's going nowhere and going nowhere fast this year. I shouldn't care, right? And I want them to win, so I shouldn't care, is the fact that they kept going to the Driscoll cat when it's not working. Like, it didn't work in the second half of Dallas. It hasn't worked since. And yet you do it over and over and over again. It's just, it's Houston Texan football. Now, what Mark said about, like, Lovie and Pep saving Casario's job, I think he meant because, like, they are your scapegoats now. Lovie's the scapegoat to get fired. Pep's the scapegoat to get fired. And Mark's telling us not to make excuses for Casario. Look, I think that I understand what he's saying. I get that. I think that we've been fair in our criticism of Casario. We're not willing to make the leap yet that Nick Casario should get fired. Some people have already made that leap. I think that's incredibly silly. I think if you're trying to fire Nick Casario at this point of his general manager career as the Houston Texans, you are probably the same dude that's trying to fire Jeff Luhnow in his second year as the general manager of the Houston Astros. When Casario was hired, he wasn't hired to win games in year two.
Yeah, we're not saying that he's done a stellar job and goes without criticism. We're just saying any rebuild, especially one as demanding and as deep as the one that he's in the midst of trying to dig out of here, you could not expect in your wildest dreams it to be completely rectified in 2 years' time. So he's had a six-year contract, and you don't want to pay for a ton of years that you're not going to actually get him to do the work for. But it's unrealistic to have said in 2 years' time, any general manager, let alone a first-time general manager, is going to come in, be perfect or be fantastic, and you already have this team soaking up wins and looking like they're smelling the playoffs next season. It's not realistic. It's not real life, people. That's why I said in a year's time, it could be very realistic that we have him in our crosshairs and on the hot seat, and we're considering him being let go as well. But it's not this season. It's not this offseason.
No, I don't believe it's way too soon, in my opinion. Now, Lovie Smith, like, some people want to defend Lovie, and Lovie should be back. Lovie should have never had the job. Like, Lovie wasn't on the finalist list for Nick Casario. He was not one that was interviewed. If they were going to hire Lovie, they should have hired him instead of Cully.
It was a panic-stricken, knee-jerk, last-minute reaction. Not a selection, if I can sum it up that way.
Yeah, I think it's a fair way to put it. 713-780-ESPN.
Because honestly, Jeremy, as you were talking about this too, the one thing that kept coming to my mind is, of the three guys, you can make a case for all three. Because in the Pep Hamilton case, you can say, hey, look, I wanted and expected to be what you guys wanted me to be, which is a very open offense that had all kinds of wrinkles, that had everybody guessing and looking at it going, man, this is the right way to be coaching a football team offensively in the NFL. But if I don't have the right guys that can execute that plan, and at practice every day, I see guys that no matter how much in my wildest dreams I want to run these plays, I know these guys aren't capable of executing them. Then for my own safety and well-being as it relates to the locker room and the coaching staff and this team, I'm not running plays that I know they can't run just so they get blown up in my face. I got to run the plays that I think these guys are capable of executing. You could make that argument. I think we've seen enough to say that no matter what weapons he had and what resources he had at his beck and call, this offense wasn't going to look good this year.
No, I think that the talent was. But here's the frustration with like the Pep aspect, and to Mark's point just now that called. I can understand Mark's point. Well, you know, Caserio didn't give Pep Hamilton an offense to really work with. He didn't give a roster for Lovie to really work with. While I understand those points, did the offense look better this year or did the offense look better last year? The offense looked better last year. Davis Mills looked better as a rookie the second half of last season than he's looked at all in his sophomore year and year two. So you can't tell me that Pep Hamilton also isn't at fault. And I also think that there's more weapons on this team.
It is so painful, though, Jeremy, if you make me choose between Tim Kelly and Pep Hamilton over the last 2 years. I mean, if option C is punt, I might take
it. Look, both can be bad, right?
Because you're going to punt anyway.
It's picking the best of two negatives. It's picking your poison, right? Like, which of the two of the bad options is the better option?
The lesser of two evils.
The offense was better under Tim Kelly. The offense was better last year, and Davis Mills looked better.
To admit, but you're right.
And then as incompetent as David Culley looked, which is accurate, I think we can all agree that David Culley looked incompetent, right? Do you disagree? 713-780-3776 to challenge one of you to tell me that he didn't. They also won more games. Like, Lovie's solid. I get that. He has a good resume in the NFL. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's a good football man. I like Lovie Smith. I hate that Lovie Smith is in this scenario. I hate that we have to talk about moving on from Lovie Smith. I wish he was never hired because I don't want to have this conversation about Lovie Smith. I like the dude. But if we're also going to evaluate Lovie, the fact that we like him, the fact that he's competent, all of those things, the Texans, with a lesser roster a year ago, potentially are going to win twice as many games as this year's team, with Lovie leading it. 713-780-ESPN. What is the priority of your offseason wish list? 713-780-3776. I'm excited about the offseason. I'm excited about the potential of a coach that I like. I'm excited about the draft coming up April 27th. I'm excited about adding a franchise quarterback. All of that stuff can lose its luster as soon as next week. If the Texans come out next week on a Tuesday and say, you know, we're keeping Lovie Smith, the luster and the passion I have for the offseason is almost all gone.
It's funny, Jeremy. Look, we've said this before. There's parallels and so many of them between the two franchises, the Rockets and the Texans. But as it relates to the head coaches, both are likable guys. Both seem to be really great dudes. But that doesn't necessarily translate to being great coaches or head coaches. They might be better assistants than they ever are as head coaches, too. But I see Lovie the same way that I see Steven Silas. I'm rooting for the guy. I wanted him to do well. I wanted both of them to do well. But as it sits right now in the state of each team, it's time for somebody else because it hasn't worked. You haven't pushed the right buttons. You haven't gotten the right effect. And at a certain point, at a crossroads for both teams, as they want to move forward positively, I don't see that happening with either guy. I just think that the organizations themselves don't see what we see.
Think about that over the break. And I want our listeners to do this as well for the next couple of minutes. Yesterday we talked about, what if Jim Harbaugh is the next head coach of the Texans? How would you feel? We talked today. How would you feel if the next head coach of the Texans is Mike McDaniel? We've entertained the idea of Ben Johnson. How would you feel if it's Lovie Smith on Tuesday? The Texans double down on Lovie Smith on Tuesday. How would that make you feel?
Ugh.
And what is the priority for you on your offseason wish list? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, right now I'll tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I was there bright and early this morning. The lobby was full. There was all these people lined up to feel better and get more energy on a daily basis. You're not trying to win a gold medal at this point in your life. You're trying to win the day. That's what's most important to you. So all you want to do is have enough energy to get everything done at work, to make sure you get all your family duties taken care of, all the honeydews and the to-do list checklist is done. You have time left over to work out and give time to your kids and your family so that when you go to bed and put your head on the pillow at the end of the night, you know what? That was a full day, a complete day. I did all I could do, and I feel good about what I was able to accomplish. If you want those kind of results, you go to Apollo Men's Health. Both men and women are there on a daily basis, and they are reaping the benefits of more energy on a daily basis. Could start and be as easy as the B12 shot like I get every week. Could be taken a lot further and do all the different ways that they can administer or you can administer at home hormone therapy so you get more energy more consistently every single day. You want to get on a workout program, start with a full body composition analysis because you know from week to week, sometimes you're not seeing the gains in the weight room and feeling like you're doing the things necessary or that the workout program is working. But when you look at the body comp, you'll realize body fat down, muscle mass up. The numbers are pointing in the right direction, and that'll give you the motivation to keep going on that path. Recovering quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, they got that too. Start today by making an appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. I'm sure you'll find some services that you might find interesting and beneficial to you. And if you do, when you make that first appointment, go in, be open-minded, and talk to them. They will make sure that they walk you through the process and they'll find out exactly what you're trying to accomplish and they'll find a road and a path to get you there. They get results for people on a daily basis. A friend of mine that you all know that actually works at this station has not been as low as he has been weight loss wise and at the weight that he's currently at in a long, long time. And it's due to the fact that he has worked with the people at Apollo Men's Health. Yeah, I'm talking about Pete Crate. Pete Crate told me the other day he hasn't been at the weight that he's at now in at least 10 years. That's a massive improvement, and that's all because he started going to Apollo Men's Health. Check him out today. Tell him I sent you by. Get a free body composition analysis or a free B12 shot on your first official visit. But let the process go from there and see what I'm talking about. They'll get you results, too. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.